God's raised us up.
All right. You might have guessed from the singing and the scripture reading that we've already done what the topic was going to be, or you might have just looked at the notes and figured it out. The Bible sure does have a lot to say about what we say and how we say it. And so today we're going to talk about the good things that can be done with our ability to speak. And then the next 7 or 8 messages are going to be on the rotten things that happen when we speak. Things like lying, deceiving, talebearing, talking too much, talking too soon, flattery, and quarreling. So maybe I shouldn't have told you that. Boy, we're going to really be packing the place out in the next few weeks. But today, let's just talk about the good things that we can do with this wonderful ability that God has given us to speak. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us this ability to speak. We pray, Lord, that you'll show us today what we ought to do with that gift and the right way to speak to people so that we can have a better chance of reaching them and not turning them away and not turning them against you because of our wrong kind of speech, wrong attitude in the speech. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll show us the good things today that can be done with our mouth and our ability to talk to other people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, first of all, first place we'll go to is Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And then after that, it'll be easy because all the rest of the verses are going to be in the book of Proverbs. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. This is Jesus speaking here. He says in verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" Okay, and then here's the phrase that we want to observe from each of these verses today. Jesus says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." For out of the abundance of the mouth, or the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Maybe you've said this, or maybe you've heard somebody else say this. Something comes out of our mouth or something comes out of somebody else's mouth and they say, "Oh, I didn't mean that." Correction. I didn't mean for that to slip out. Right? Because the Lord said, and it's very interesting, the tongue is directly connected to the heart. And what comes out when we speak is just a manifestation of what we have put into our heart, or allowed to abide in our heart. And that's why it's so important that our hearts be filled with scripture and with truth and with love and with grace, because what's in that heart is going to come out in our speech. So, you know, well, nobody's any good, okay? Jesus said in verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." So what we want to do is we want to make our hearts treasures of good things. Okay? We don't want to make our heart a garage where we store a bunch of junk. Amen? Because what's going to happen under certain circumstances, certain pressures, that garage door is going to open up and all that junk is going to be exposed. Or the treasure chest will be opened and all of those good things will be exposed. So we want to have a good heart. If you have a good heart, you don't have to be careful about what you say. And, you know, it's not just politicians, but I'll use them as an example because it's easy to pick on them because they put themselves out there and display their lives so greatly. But the reason most of these men and women running for office have such a difficult time is they really have no idea what they said last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. 30 years ago sometimes. Their heart is so filled with corrupt ways and corrupt practices that when they make these speeches or give these interviews, these things just pour out of their heart, and they're not even really sure what's in their heart. And then somebody says, well, last year you said this. Oh, well, I really didn't mean that. Well, 3 years ago you said this. Well, that's not who I am today. Right? And what's important for you to do, what's important for me to do, is not to have to remember what we said when we were under pressure or when we were being influenced by the world or the world, the flesh, or the devil, but to have our heart right so that we don't have to be afraid of what we're going to say or how we're going to answer or the way in which we're going to respond. If you don't lie, you don't have to remember what you said, right? So someone says, "Well, let's see what is it? What did I tell him? I got to remember. I got to keep my story straight." You shouldn't have to do that. If you tell the truth, it's always going to be the same, right? Just don't tell stories. So we'll get into all that in later lessons. But he says here in verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." It appears that the Lord is far more concerned about what we say than we are. He considers everything that comes out of our mouth to be important enough to pay attention to it and to one day discuss with us. Man, oh man, if everything we said, we said with an understanding that one day we are going to revisit this conversation with Jesus, that might make our conversation a little bit different, our speech a little bit different. That might make a difference. All right, so let's look at some things. The rest of the verses, like I said, they'll be in Proverbs. The first one is Proverbs chapter 10, or the 10th proverb. However you like to refer to Proverbs. All right, Proverbs 10 and verse number 20. If I had a choice, I'd rather be rich than poor. If I had the choice, I'd rather bestow upon you riches rather than poverty. But there's a sense in which we can all be rich, and we can all bestow riches upon others. Proverbs 10, verse 20. "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth." How about that? The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, there again, the tongue and the heart, you see it connected, don't you? Okay. If what is in my heart is worthless, the vanities of the world, the sins of the world, trivial things of the world, then what comes out of my mouth is going to be equally worthless. But if I can fill my heart with the treasures of God's justice, God's truth, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's salvation, then when I speak, it will enrich you. And when you speak, it will enrich me. You know, we've all read stories or we've seen depictions of, you know, oh, wouldn't it be great if a man was so rich he could just ride down the road and toss silver out? And how people would race to gather up that silver because, well, he's so rich, he doesn't He doesn't need it all, and they're just glad to get a little bit of his riches. But when Jesus, think about this, when Jesus walked this earth for some 3.5 years, he didn't scatter money everywhere. He scattered words everywhere. And when the sower goes forth to sow in those great parables that we have in the gospel, they don't sow money. They go out and they sow the seed, and the seed is said to be the word of God. And so the Lord said, if you want to really enrich the members of your household and your friends and the people that you go to church with, fill your heart with the riches of God's word. And then those things will begin to come forth out of your mouth. That's how it works. And instead of our conversation being worthless, it will be valuable, very valuable. Go to Proverbs 15 now. And verse number 4. Isn't it sad that our first parents are in that beautiful garden? In the midst of that garden, you had the tree of life, and they got driven from that garden. Isn't that a sad thing? What have we lost? Look at Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Okay, like I told you, we're not going into the negative stuff today. So we're going to look at the part that says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So just one small example. That man, that woman, they had they not eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but instead had they opted for the tree of life, is it possible that man could have walked over even from that tree and sealed himself in an endless life? Is it possible that woman, instead of bringing death upon the world, they could have brought an endless life by eating of that tree? Well, they didn't. They didn't, so we'll never know. But here's what the Bible says. There's a man. He works next to you. He's dead in trespasses and sins. In your heart are the words of eternal life. Your ability to speak could be to him a tree of life. He could hear, consume, believe the words that you speak and live forever. Isn't that true? Isn't that amazing? Come on now. Working next to you is a man who is lost. He's on his way to hell. Living next door to you is a woman. She's lost. You know she's on her way to hell. I could talk to this guy for years and years about who won the game. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if he eats that fruit, is he going to live forever? I could speak to him about the government. I could speak to him about the weather. I could speak to him about the times in which we live. I'd be a nice guy. I'd be a friendly guy. We would get along well. He thinks the world of me. I think the world of him. But I never produce anything in all of our conversations that could be to him a tree of life. I never said anything in all the times that we chatted over the fence or over a cup of coffee. I never said a word to my neighbor that could prove to be to her a tree of life. Think about the ability that God has given us. Not just to talk, but to talk in such a way that someone could pass from death unto life, from lost unto found. What a wonderful gift and ability God has given us. All right, back up a little bit just to Proverbs 12 and verse number 14. Proverbs 12, 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. All right. Are you looking for a job? All right, here's some important advice. If you get hired and you have the skill set, if you get hired and you have all the ability that you need, let me tell you how you can stay hired, how you can keep that job. Use your mouth for fruitful purposes. People want to hire someone who knows how to do the job and who is not causing problems when they open their mouth, who knows how to perform the skill set, but who isn't a constant griper, complainer, backbiter, rabble-rouser. You understand? We're not, and I'm not going, like I said, I'm not going negative. We're staying positive. You want to be appreciated. You want to be valuable. Okay? You want to be where they say, okay, we got to get rid of somebody, and someone says, well, don't get rid of him. He's a great guy. And they're talking about you. Okay? There are two guys on that job. They've been there 3 years because they both know what they're doing, but one guy is just a pain in the ears, and the other guy is a blessing to the ears. Well, guess who's going to stay then? Guess who's staying? And he says, well, I can work as hard as that guy. Yeah, but we just don't want to hear you anymore. We don't like the constant cussing. We don't like the constant blaspheming. We don't like the constant bad-mouthing of the supervisor when he's around and things like that. So he says in this verse, in this 14th verse here, read it again, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Make sure that what comes out of your mouth is sweet, tasteful. It's a blessing. And it'll help you to satisfy your own needs. This is just common sense stuff here from the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse number 20. This is pretty much the same thing, but it's said in a little different way. It says, a man's belly. You didn't know the Bible said something about a man's belly, did you? But there it is. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not. How many millions and millions and millions of jobs in your country have to do with talking, either directly or indirectly? I mean, even a waitress, right? I mean, you can know how to balance 12 full glasses on a tray, but if you don't know how to talk to customers, you're going to lose your job, okay? You're not going to make it as a waitress. You can know how to operate the computer. You can know how to scan the little card thing, beep, 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 across the, you know, the grocery thing. But if you don't know how to talk to customers, you're going to lose that job. You work in a hotel. You better know how to talk to those people when they come and check in, and they're tired, and they might be rude to you, but you want to keep your job, you better know how to talk to them in that hotel. Sales, public relations, I mean, the list goes on. Speech is used, important. You say, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to have people out front. So, you know, I'm not going to have to deal with anybody anyway. You are going to deal with somebody. You're going to deal with sales reps. You're going to deal with corporate people. I'm just telling you, if you want food on your table, if you want clothes in your closet, if you want a little change in your pocket to take your family out and get them something nice every once in a while, you better get your heart right so that you know how to talk to people. Because if you don't talk to people in a gracious and proper way, they're going to remember that. They will. They won't remember if you were nice. Nice is expected, isn't it? But if you're not nice, you're rude, you're unkind, they're going to mark that down. You boys and girls, I'm just telling you something. You say, my teacher's not fair. Well, your teacher might be fair, might not be fair. Your teacher's a human being, right? If you talk nice to your teacher, if you're polite to your teacher, you ask questions in the right tone of voice, when your grade is being decided whether it's going to be a B or a C, if you talked right to your teacher, you're going to get the B. I'm just telling you. If you badmouth that teacher, you backtalk that teacher, gripe about everything to the teacher, your mouth is going to affect your grade. So it's better to learn it early, get it early. Look, we're talking about living the Christian life now. Okay? Everything isn't streets of gold here. Okay, everything is not jasper walls. You have to make a living, right? You got to have some relationships, and you need to get your heart right so that you don't think you're always the victim, and you think you're always picked on, and everybody's not always out to get you. You just respond with kindness, and respond with grace. And you ask the questions in a proper way. And what you mutter under your breath, just keep that to yourself. Okay? I'm saying this to help you. It'll go a long way in this life, in this world. Okay? Think about this. So you go to school, higher education, you learn a business, you rent yourself a little office, and your first customer comes in, and you say, good morning, how are you today? I'm doing okay. Well, you don't look okay. Anyway, I'm here because I saw your sign out front that says you're a pro, so I wanted to see if you could help me. Well, get on with it. I got stuff to do here. You know, the first 30 seconds of that interaction, it may take that person a while to work up the nerve to leave, but they're not coming back after you're that rude to them, okay? They don't care how expert you are. They don't care what kind of grades you got when you learned your skills. They don't care how qualified you are to deal with whatever it is they came in there to deal with. The fact that you were rude to them with your mouth finished you with them forever. But now it's not finished. That's not all, because now they're going to go home and they're going to give you one star, unless they can give you zero. And they're going to write, he was rude. See, people, now they got the ability to let everybody that they don't know that you were rude to them. So if you want to make a living today, get this thing under control. If you want to get this tongue under control, what do you have to do? You have to get that heart under control. Remember, they're connected. Always remember, they're connected. All right, Proverbs 18, verse number 4 this time. A little different idea here. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. All right? We're going to stay in Proverbs today, but in John 7, Jesus said, if you would receive him, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. Okay? How does that work? Okay, when you receive the Lord, he puts the Holy Spirit in you. Okay, so if you're saved, inside is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is said to be a river of living water flowing out of us, okay? Ought to be flowing out of us. All right, so let's picture this. You go out of here today, you get in the car, you turn on the radio. You put on the political station. And the words on that radio, they're flowing out of the inside of a man. and you drink in 2 or 3 hours of right wing or left wing, and you're still thirsty. And so you turn down the dial, and next thing you hear is a country singer singing about his dog got drunk and stole his pickup truck and his wife ran off with his shotgun and all the rest of that stuff. And that's flowing out of his belly. And you drink that a little while, about 30 minutes, and you realize, I'm still thirsty. So you turn down that radio dial and you get the rap station. Oh boy. And the rapper, he's rapping about killing that guy's dog and stealing his pickup truck and using his shotgun to go down to the liquor store. And he's going to give it to the man. And it's a little bit too bitter for your taste, so you turn on down the dial, still thirsty. Then you meet a Christian. And this Christian, he's got a river of living water flowing in his belly. And he opens his mouth and he says, "Can you believe how hot it is? I tell you, it's so hot I couldn't find a parking space, man. I had to walk three blocks from where I parked my car. And look, I'm actually sweating. You think I want to be sweating like this?" The only person he's encountered all day who could have given him a refreshing, satisfying drink of water, diverted the river so that what came out was the old bitter well from the old days. Brother, sister, this gift of speech that we have the ability to bring refreshment and satisfaction to souls that they're not going to find it anywhere else. What a great gift we have. What a great ability we have. You know, we like pretty voices. We like nice voices. We like men that can sing. And we like women who can sing skillfully. Okay, we don't want you to get up here and sing a sad song about your blues. We want a good, sweet, refreshing drink of living water. Let's sing a song about, or let a song about Jesus come out. How about that? Okay. When you get home and you're having conversations, let it be refreshing, sweet, clear water that comes out of your mouth. Not something that was dredged up from an old stagnant pond. What an ability we have to speak refreshing words, Holy Ghost words, if you will. Look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. Proverbs 10, 11. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. I'll give you one example. There's a lot of situations that could be used, but I'll just give you one example today. Somewhere in one of those awful neighborhoods is a little boy whose mother's man of the weekend cussed that little boy out all day Saturday, all night Saturday, and Sunday morning. His mother, when she's not completely spaced out on drugs, is constantly telling that little boy what a problem he is, what a pain he is, how he's always in her way, how she wished that he'd never been born, how he costs her so much time, so much money. And some Christian takes part of their Saturday afternoon to go knock on those doors in that crummy neighborhood. And there's that little boy sitting on the steps. And you walk up and you say, "Well, how are you doing, young man? How's it going today?" Not so good. And so you sit down and you talk to that boy like he means something. You talk to him like a friend. Sunday, you pick him up and you bring him to the church. and he hears happy children singing songs about Jesus, who made their mother and their daddy completely different. You know what he's found, that little boy? He's found a well, and there's life in that well. And he was about to die in that desert of that crummy trailer park, that desert of drugs and drink and violence and profanity and pornography. And somebody came along, and when they opened their mouth, it was like taking the lid off a well, and sweet water like that boy had never tasted in his life came out of that well. Isn't it great to be able to talk? It really is. But what are we doing with that gift? Look at what can be done with the ability to talk to people. Praise God. Proverbs 12 is next. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Watch this. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Not looking at the negative side today. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Now, we'll not go to the verse tonight. I think I did put it in your notes. Proverbs also says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. All right, so let's consider this. If my heart is merry, your heart is merry, we can open our mouth and the words that come out will have a medicinal quality. Someone who's depressed, they don't need to hear depressing words. That's not going to help them. Someone who's fearful doesn't need to hear how afraid I am. Someone who's sad doesn't need to hear, oh, you think you're sad? Listen to why I'm sad. I've got more reasons to be sad than you've got to be sad. But think of how much healing, strength, health, and hope we can speak to others. Listen, I believe with all my heart that Joel Osteen is a total disaster when it comes to Bible doctrine. Okay, get that out front first. I mean, if the man knows the plan of salvation, he sure is keeping it well hidden. If he knows any sound doctrinal truth on the Bible, he's really pretending not to. But tens of thousands of people a week watch Joel Osteen. Why? Because their lives are miserable and he's not. And they're unhappy, and he's not. And they're depressed, and he's not. And they got really bad hair, and his hair is great. There is that. Okay. But look, I'm not saying that his appeal is proper, but there is some biblical truth that I want you to get. People are looking, not as many as you want, but people are looking for hope. If our words express hopelessness, we're of no help to them. People are looking for peace and joy and satisfaction. Well, if it doesn't sound like we have any, it doesn't matter that we go to church. It doesn't matter that we say we know Jesus. If my day on the job is the same gripe fest that their day on the job is, if when he starts railing against his wife, we join in and rail against our wives, in their thinking, we got nothing to offer. Let the words of our mouth be medicine. Let the words of our mouth be healing. Don't we have this power in the scriptures? I'm not saying we have power. The word of God is powerful. You say, but it's a sword. Yeah, but it doesn't always have to be a sword. It can be a bandage. It can be a balm. It can bring life. It doesn't have to bring death. God help us. God help us. Proverbs 15 is next. Proverbs 15, just talking about some good things that can be done with our ability to speak. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. Oh, it's a good one. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So, husband, wife, when she walks in or he walks in and turns up the burner on that argument, you don't have to reach over and turn it up. Okay, you could reach over and turn it down, right? Angry words. Well, what do? More angry words or soft words? There's the choices. Here's biblical truth right here. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Okay, I'll give you an example using just two words. Two words. Oh, yeah? Two words, right? Is that gonna help? Same two words. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. There's a difference how you say it. Same two words, different heart, and totally different results. See, it's not just our words. It's not just what we say. It's the heart that produces the words. And often people are not reacting to the words that we said. They're reacting to the heart that said them. Proverbs 15, verse 26. Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The words of the pure are pleasant words. Look, nobody's saying that everybody's going to get saved when you witness to them. Nobody's saying that every Christian is going to embrace correct doctrine when you present it to them. But let's just make sure that they're rejecting the gospel and not rejecting the presentation of the gospel. Okay? Let's make sure they're rejecting the Bible doctrine. They're not rejecting the sneer or the haughty, condescending tone that I have when I present it. Pleasant words. Pleasant words. Proverbs 25. Well, sometimes, you know, people just have to be reproved. Okay. Okay, let's see about that. Proverbs 25, verse number 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover, upon an obedient ear. All right, so talking about ears. Ears are not really all that pretty, are they? So ladies decorate their ears to make them pretty, and it makes the ear look better, I guess. So you got ears. They're not attractive, so we put an ornament in it. Makes it more attractive. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So here's what I think we got here. I can reprove, or I can reprove wisely. It's like I can have an ear, or I can have an ear with an earring. It's like it just... comes across better if you use a little wisdom when you try to correct somebody. See, look, everybody's wrong, but you've all been corrected by someone who doesn't think that they're ever wrong. It's just that's hard to take. How about when you're out preaching on the street and some guy with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other tells you he doesn't think you should be yelling at people? Well, his blatantly obvious transgressions take away from whatever force there might be to his reproof. So the Lord says here, it's great to be able to use our ability to speak to reprove people when they're wrong, but have some wisdom. Consider yourself, consider your attitude, consider all the things that go along with it. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 23. Proverbs 28, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. So here again, rebuke. I see someone who is in need of a rebuke. I can walk up to them. I can get in their face with six people standing around, and I can humiliate the man, or I can wait until things settle down. I can wait until the heat of the moment is gone. I can wait till his friends and his associates slip away. And then, hey, John, can I talk to you for a second? See, the idea of reproving, the idea of rebuking shouldn't be to tell someone off and embarrass them, right? It should be to help them, or to help them to improve or to correct something that's wrong so they don't harm someone else. Okay? The book of Proverbs says you can say the same thing. You can say the same thing now, or you can wait. Say it later. Later works better. Okay, you can say the same thing in the group or in private. Private works better. So let's use our ability to reprove and to correct in the way in which it will be most effective, most successful. So there's some more wisdom from Proverbs. All right, the next one, next topic, there's four of them we'll look at real quickly. Proverbs 11, 9. Because we talk about this so often, we don't really need to linger on this. These next 2 points. Proverbs 11:9 says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Okay, we're just going to go through these first. Proverbs 14, verse 3. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. 14:25. A true witness delivereth souls. Chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. All right, so altogether, the Bible says if we use our ability to speak properly, we can deliver souls from death. We can deliver lives from destruction. And that's a great thing, isn't it? Rescuing young people from the mistakes that you made. How? Just talking to them. Just talking to them. Rescuing sinners from a devil's hell. How? By talking to them. Using this great ability to speak to deliver those that are bound for a life of ruin, a life of an eternity of destruction. And then Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15, verse number 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Proverbs 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. All right, so what can we do with our mouth? We can teach people the things of God. We can teach people the truths of God. Isn't that a blessing? Impart unto them knowledge and wisdom. All right, now for 30 plus years, I've tried to just pour as much of God's word into my heart as I can so that I can open my mouth and pour it out, okay? And isn't it great to be able to sit in front of a microphone or a camera or a congregation and just tell people the truth about the Bible? Isn't that great? And that's what the Lord has available to every one of you. It may be a different venue, may be a different scale or measure, could be a jailhouse kind of ministry, could be a rest home, could be a youth ministry, could be a Sunday school class, could be a mission field. But hey, what a great thing to be able to fill your heart with the truth and then put breath from your lungs across your vocal cords and with your tongue and your lips form syllables and words and tell people the truth about God. What a great thing. Praise the Lord. So let's just come to one more verse here, Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Now God is in heaven. Is that agreed? God is in heaven. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, according to the Bible. Agreed? They're a long way off. They're a long way off. Jesus Christ is not here right now. He said he's like a man who took a journey into a far country, right? And he's going to return. The Lord is going to return, but he's not here right now. So what happens in the meantime? Proverbs 25, verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know what we are? We are down here with the Holy Spirit in us and the ability to speak, representing someone who's gone on a journey to a far country. And until he returns, guess what we can do? We can open our mouth and deliver good news from a far country. Whether it be handing out gospel tracts, in public places, talking to our neighbors, talking to the people that you see when you go out of your house or on your job tomorrow, we have the ability to deliver good news from a far country to a very, very parched and thirsty world. What an amazing, amazing thing. There are billions of people on the earth, so they tell us, and most of what was said today in this world is completely worthless. Most of what was sung today, completely worthless. Most of what was reported today, completely worthless. In the midst of all that desert wasteland of noise and babbling, you can lift up your voice and deliver some good news from a far country and change lives, save souls, and strengthen people. What a gift! What a gift from God! They say what separates man from the beast is our ability to talk. Not if we waste it. Not if we waste it. Let's use it. What good things can be done? The ability to speak can be used for good. When used for good, we learn today that it's as valuable as silver. It's fruitful like a tree of life. It's refreshing like a well of water. It's healthy like a dose of medicine. Can bring peace to men. Can bring wise reproof to those that err. It can deliver lost souls from death. It can teach people the things of God. We get to carry the good news. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of speech. Help me to use it in one or in all of these really good ways. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've given us not only the ability to speak, but you've given us good news in the Word of God to fill our hearts that we might pour it out to this lost and dying world, to this thirsty world. Help us, Lord, to remember these things so that when we speak, it can be a help in some way to some lost soul or someone who's down and needs to be lifted up. Help us to be the one whose words are helpful to somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.